Everything that the Lord does is special and significant, and every little thing that happens in this creation matters enormously. He said to the disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And he says, "I am," to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He says in the previous chapter, my sheep, all of them, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one. He said, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Our dear sister June believed, and she sees the glory of God. She saw him here. Let's give some thought to what she's seeing at the moment. In Revelation chapter 7, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation," Revelation 7:10, "salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God, for ever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes." Such is the intimacy of the union of the saints of God with their glorious Saviour. That's what it is to be in heaven, to be in his presence, to be rejoicing in him. June's given us the hymns, and she's given us the verses, and the verses she wants us to meditate on, and they're verses for all of us. And I trust that we just hold on to these words of June to us as we journey on a pilgrimage. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is, right now, sufficient for thee. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." May rest upon me. It means to pitch a tent and dwell over and have someone under your care and your protection. Rest upon me. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's pray. Our dear and gracious and good and all sovereign God, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can always come into your presence, because ever before and seated on the throne is our Lord Jesus Christ, and all of your people come to you in him, our Father. And we thank you that at times like this we are encouraged to come with boldness to the throne of grace that we might find help in our time of need. And Father God, we are needy. We are needy of your mercy. We are needy of your grace. We are needy of your love. We are needy of the blessed comfort that you alone can bring. Heavenly Father, and we pray that the words that we have read, the promises that your dear Son has made, would be so very real to us, Heavenly Father, that we would be comforted in our missing of June. We praise you, our Father, that in John chapter 11, that the Lord Jesus Christ wept at the tomb of Lazarus. We thank you, our Father, that our great King and Saviour and God is a friend of sinners, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Heavenly Father. He understands what it is for we who are dust to live in this world and to be so bowed down by the circumstances of life. But we praise you, Heavenly Father, that beyond all of these things there is a great and glorious God, and there is a great and glorious future for all of your people. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, that June's body rested here, but she, the real June, went away to be with you in glory at that very moment, Heavenly Father. And we just thank and praise you for eternal life, that none of your children can ever perish, no one and nothing can pluck them out of your hand. Nothing in this world, nothing, death or Satan or all the other things that seem opposed to us, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So bless our time, bless our memories, Heavenly Father. Comfort Graham and Bethany and their family, and draw near as you've promised to us, Heavenly Father, at these times. And once again, we pray that you might reveal your majesty and your glory, your sovereignty, your love and your power in all things, that we might be those that have a peace that passes the understanding of this world as we look and rest upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our time together, Heavenly Father. Bless the events over the next few days, and bless Graham and Bethany and their family into the future, Heavenly Father. Please cause us to be reminded again and again of whose June's was and is, and where she is now. What a gift you've given us, Heavenly Father, sending your sister, your daughter, our sister, the sister of the Lord Jesus Christ, his wife, into our presence to remind us of who you are and how you save sinners like us. We pray these things for the glory of your dear and precious Son, and for the comfort of your saints, our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. June wanted us to sing, and we're going to sing one of them right now. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Turn in your hymn books to number 46. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I say. Rejoice. Thank you.
His kingdom can offer.
my prayer for some time is that we've been enabled by the grace of God to actually rejoice and appreciate and learn the lessons that our God has brought to us by sending June into our lives. And we want to treasure every moment. We want to treasure the glorious gift, the gifts of God to us. So I just wanted you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6, and there's some just lovely words that I've found very, very comforting in this last little while. And he speaks in verse, and obviously in verse 6 is talking about those who fall away from the faith, but he's talking about the better things. Verse 9, the better things. Beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you. And the things that accompany salvation, isn't that a lovely word? The things that accompany salvation. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What a great word about June. She ministered to the saints. She ministered to, and she's still ministering. She still speaks. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The full assurance of hope unto the end. That you not be slothful, but followers of them who through patience, and patience inherit the promises. And we know that all the promises are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is the promise of the Spirit. The promise is Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The promise is in Isaac. The promise is the seed. The promise is the Lord Jesus Christ is to come into the world. All of God's promises are wrapped up in this one glorious Redeemer. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his purpose, which is what that word counsel means, purpose. It's the unchangeableness of his will. He does all things according to the counsel of his own will. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. The immutable things are his counsel. The immutable things are the oath that he swore in his counsel, that counsel of peace which was between them, their counsel from before the foundation of the world. It's impossible for God to lie, verse 18, that we might have strong consolation. We might have strong comfort. The word is paraclesis, to come alongside. To come alongside and to hold you and to uphold you and to comfort you. Simeon was in that temple and he was waiting. He was waiting patiently for the consolation of Israel, and the baby was put in his arms, an eight-day-old baby. He said, here it is, I can rest in peace now. Here's the consolation of Israel. All the promises of God are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have strong consolation, everlasting consolation. Who have, listen to what we've done, we've fled for refuge We've fled to those cities of refuge. We've fled to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've fled from this world. We've fled from this world's religion. We've fled from this world's righteousness. We've fled from all of this world. So we've fled from all of those things. We've fled for refuge. We need a refuge. We've fled there to lay hold of the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's firm, isn't it? The anchor of the soul, which entereth in within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have an anchor, brothers and sisters, and he's entered in through that veil, and the veil is his flesh. He's entered into that Holy of Holies, and when he entered into the Holy of Holies, he took all of his people with him into the Holy of Holies. He carried them on his shoulders, the government's on his shoulders, and he carried them on his heart, and he carried them from all eternity. He carried them before the foundation of this world, and he carries them in there. That's an anchor, isn't it? An anchor to ride out the storms, an anchor to ensure that all of his people will never be have shipwreck of their faith. And he enters in within that veil, he enters in with his own blood, having accomplished redemption for all of his people. Our anchor's on the rock of ages, the rock of ages. When men throw anchors over boats, they can't see where the anchor is, but the other problem is that they don't have any idea of where it's going. You throw it over and you hope, don't you, that it finds something stable. We're not throwing an anchor over in any whim whatsoever. We're throwing an anchor onto the rock of ages. And it's the rock of ages that holds us and holds the boat. The anchor is unseen, but it's not unfelt. The anchor is not thrown out with uncertainty. We have an anchor. We have an anchor who is the rock. And we can't see him now, brothers and sisters, but our friend June does. Our faith is being tried in so many ways, isn't it? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold. It's remarkable, isn't it? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we can't see that anchor and we can't see the chain that holds the anchor, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We have an anchor. We have an anchor. He's unseen but not unknown. What a support and a stay. June's asked us to sing again. Isn't it lovely that I have here on the back of our bulletin, I have the last words that June wrote in this world, and they're words about singing.